Well, the point was made was this really did turn into a September 11th event, didn't it? Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay. September 11 confused everybody, including the movement. And I would submit that anyone that was confused by September 11th was already so confused that, all right. What we got is a weird kind of American exceptionalism of the left, of the opposition. It's the same thing as it is the right. America's subject to a different set of rules and a different set of standards and a different everything. Those things that happen out there, we can understand them. They're appropriate out there. We understand them and see the appropriateness everywhere but here. You got the Israelis firing artillery to provoke the Palestinians across the border in Lebanon in the early 80s before the invasion of Lebanon by Israel, okay? The first time the Palestinians let it go, so what the Israelis do? They intensified it and fired again. This time they got a response. Now he's talking about how this has played out in the media and all the rest. The one thing he's not doing is telling them it's an inexcusable terrorist response on the part of the Palestinians. And aside from the fact that what got hit this time was in this country rather than some other country, there's no real difference tangibly between the two examples. That after 10 years of patient waiting for a movement to get itself together and decide it was more important to save the lives of Iraqi children than to remove ashtrays from a restaurant in the Bay Area, they finally took matters in their one hand through what they call them, three 300,000-pound cruise missiles into about the best target you could possibly have picked in any point in the United States, okay? And in the process, extracted a toll, primarily composed of the technocrats that I was talking about, not exclusively so. There's going to be what the United States calls some collateral damage on any action that is taken. That's unfortunate, but those are terms that were imposed by the United States. And in that process, extracted a revenge, if you want to look at it that way, of 1% of the Iraqi children alone. I still don't hear anybody talking about the Iraqi children. I hear all kinds of variations on bemoaning the fate of those 5,000 innocent people who were the primary investment bankers and bond traders and so forth in those top rungs. I mean, I've been running through those obituaries in the New York Times, and I found one receiving clerk so far. I'll count you in the EMTs and the firemen, okay? But so far, I've counted well over half of all the casualties of the World Trade Center alone as being in the Eichmann capacity. And I've even had people try to argue that those in the Pentagon were innocent bystanders as well. I mean, my God, if you can't hit the Pentagon, what can you hit? By that standard of logic, it would have been a crime against humanity for the Viet Cong or the NVA to have fired mortar rounds into a U.S. compound because, after all, there were Vietnamese house girls, as they were called, hooch girls, okay, and Papa Son who burned to crap. And those were, of course, innocent civilians. Are you telling me you actually got an ethic that says that the Viet Cong and the NVA were engaged in impermissible activities because they engaged in a military defense against a military invasion? Well, it's military to those people over there. Just because this is a self-exempted zone where the same rules don't apply does not actually stand up for the rest of the world. And whether or not they're terrified by U.S. air power at this moment, you can trust me on this one. The bulk of the world is saying it's about time. And if you guys had done it another way on your own in some sense, and I'm not saying you guys to you people, I'm saying that's what they're saying to all of us. If you'd been effectual in some sense at some point, this might not have been necessary. But as it stands, it was absolutely necessary, and it was absolutely empowering, even if they get beat, that they actually drew blood where it counted, because it's their blood being shed in a continuous hemorrhage out there, unnoticed. No one cares. No one really cares. There's this whole predication in America about innocence being paid that we didn't know. We didn't know about those 500,000 Iraqi children. There have been two UN commissioners resigned back to back. One went on a speaking tour in North America saying that he had resigned in protest to the policy of deliberate genocide imposed upon Iraq by the United States. This was reported in the New York Times for 3 weeks. Madeleine Albright went on 60 Minutes, and the question was posed. We've been hearing from the UN commissioners about these 500,000 children. What's the truth to this? She said, yeah, it's, as near as I can tell, pretty accurate. We just said it was worth the cost. There's a difference between not knowing and not caring. And if you're out there on the receiving end of that and get the response that you saw in this country to those statements, the only conclusion you could possibly draw is that nobody cares. Okay, what do we do now? We're going to rely on those guys to mount a movement that's going to put a stop to this? Yeah. By the time pigs fly. Understand, the days of immunity and self-exemption from the costs and consequences of what's dished out are over. That message was sent loud and clear. And those people worried about those children on those aircraft are your own children, or me for mine. And I probably fly more than anybody in this room, so I'm probably proportionately more subject to being turned into a passenger of one of those cruise missiles. And so be it. If you want your children to be safe, stop killing other people's babies or looking the other way while they die. See, that's a real simple message. It can be understood by anybody from the bowling alley to Pittsburgh to PhD level faculty members at the University of California at Berkeley. Nobody's confused about it, and we can put that message out off of this. They gave us the opportunity to do something different. And I'm not entirely convinced myself they don't have the capacity to drop the other foot if this keeps up and there isn't a coherent response that is of the right sort. And that is the right sort. See, it's the line from Lawrence Sampson out of Cotton Club. I'll go off into movies now. We'll do a little cultural studies moment. All right? It was that simple a message that got missed because of this exceptionalist attitude that's been taken in all quarters in this society. Now, Fishburne was playing a real-life 1930s Harlem gangster by the name of Bumpy Johnson, who, when they desegregated the Cotton Club, went to the guy who was the bouncer who had persecuted black people for all the years when they were excluded, took a delight in it, and the entertainers too. Took the guy, slammed his head up against the wall, stuck his head in the toilet and flushed, pulled him back out and said, what you don't understand and you got to learn is when you push people around, somebody's going to push back. Cotton Club, I'll bet you on it. Same character. Okay, he liked playing the part so much in Cotton Club, he made a whole movie about it.